up from where we will leave off today. And I encourage you that as much as you can, don't miss any Sunday so that you get all the details. If in case you miss a Sunday, then you need to quickly request for the message from our technical team so that you can catch up. Although you miss the feel of the live meeting, but at least you have the message, which is the most important thing. Amen. Let's read Ephesians chapter 3, verse 19. This is going to be our anchor text throughout this teaching. Praise the Lord. Yes. And please always put your phone on silence or flight mode. If you don't use internet, just put your phone on silence or flight mode so that it doesn't distract. Ephesians 3:19. Are we there? Let's do it together. 1, 2, go. To know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Let's do it again. We'll do it 3 times. Second one. To know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. I'm reading from the King James, so mine is different, but don't worry, read yours. Or give us King James. Great. 1, 2, go. To know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Okay, so sometimes I try to help you, because a lot of you may have King James Bible, so I try to help you so that when you read your King James Bible, you'll understand. A lot of people think King James Bible is the most spiritual Bible because of the thou and the ye and the seeth. But that's not true. But passeth, Old English for pass. Okay? Old English for pass or passes. And then ye is Old English for you. Alright? What else is there? No other King James, bro. So let's do it for the last time. And to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. But before this, let's see what he says in 17:18. It is very interesting. This is Apostle Paul writing to the church in Ephesus. And he tells them that 16 will do that. Great. So, for this cause, I bow my knee unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that he would grant you, I want that again because it's a beautiful text, that he will grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. You see, this thing there, I've explained this to you, right? Sometimes means that what is going to be said is a further explanation to this that has been said. Grant you strength in your inner man by his Spirit. Now, how does he do that? The thing he's going to say, and I will explain this. Let's see. 17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. The indwelling of Christ in the believer's heart by faith is the strengthening of the inner man. How is our spirit strengthened? By the indwelling of Christ who is in us. Christ dwells in me. Hence, my inner man is strengthened. And I like the phrase that, by faith. So I told you, Christianity is a function of knowledge, because faith is a product of knowledge. Somebody say, Pastor, how? Faith comes by, and hearing the messages of Christ. The original says Christos. Now the King James says, by hearing the word of God. That's wrong translation. The original Greek says faith comes by hearing, and hearing the messages of Christ. So it's not just the word of God. Like anything in the Bible is the word of God, blah, 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 and faith comes by hearing the word of God. No, faith comes by hearing the message of Christ. Our faith in God comes through the hearing of the gospel, which is the message of Christ. Hallelujah. The gospel is the message of Christ. So it is the hearing of the gospel that produces faith in us. And that made us children of God. It is by that same knowledge that we call the indwelling of Christ. So the dwelling of the gospel in a man is the indwelling of Christ. When you say a person smells good, it's because there's something on him. It is that which is on him that makes you say he smells good. When we say somebody has Christ in him, it is because he contains the gospel in him. Am I making some sense here? So Christ in me, the hope of glory. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Most of times what we picture is a human being living in us. And you know that that is not possible because another human being cannot live in you. Come on now, I need a lively church this morning. So the knowledge of Christ in us is the indwelling of Christ in us. Therefore, a person that does not have the knowledge of Christ in him cannot say he has Christ. Olada Bahashata. So you can have a lot of information in the Bible. You can know a lot of things in the Bible. But if you do not know the gospel of Jesus Christ, you do not have Christ. That's why John said in the book of John that he that has the Son has life. He that has not the Son has life. And he said earlier that this is the message we preach, 1 John 1. This is the message we preach you that you may have fellowship with us, just like we also have. And so the knowledge of Christ is the indwelling of Christ. Let's say that together. The knowledge of Christ is the indwelling of Christ. The Christ may dwell in your heart by faith. It is a function of knowledge. Am I making sense to you? The indwelling of, or the knowledge that you know what Christ has done for you and who God is in Christ is what we call the indwelling of Christ in you. And that's what the apostle continues to say, that Christ in you, the hope of glory. Hallelujah. So it's not a greeting. Any anum Christ in you, any the hope of glory. It is a reality that restates that the revelation of Jesus you carry is synonymous to the indwelling of Christ in you. Have you ever heard it said that he has his Father in him? Have you heard that language? She has her mother in her. And what they're trying to say is that there are things that the child does that resembles the father or the mother. So in Chi we say, O se o mami. And our Bibi say, wait here, o mami pepe. It's a respondent. So the knowledge of Christ in us is the indwelling of Christ in us. I hope this is understood. That Christ may dwell in our hearts by faith. That ye be rooted and grounded in love. Ye be rooted and grounded. Now, the Hebrew words used for rooted and grounded are interesting. They connote an unmovable stand. An unmovable stand. That ye be rooted and grounded in love. Now, what love is this? If you are not careful, you would think that it's talking about you loving people. So ye be rooted and grounded in love. And then we may think that, it means I be rooted in loving wife, loving my friends, loving my, you know, being lovely. Now, being lovely is good. Do you understand that? It is nice. But that is not what he's talking about here. He's talking about, he said, in love, being rooted and grounded in love. And this love is the love of God. So, the best way we can say this is being rooted and grounded in the love of God, which is in Christ. And then the verse 18 now says, be rooted and grounded in love, ye may be able to comprehend with all saints. Let's do it together. What the breadth and the length. Whenever you are reading your King James Bible and you see anything in bracket like this, it means that in the original text, it is not there. But whilst we're translating to English, they wanted it to make sense to the reader. And so they bring something, then that's why they put it in bracket. So that we may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, but then the actual will be what's the breadth and the length and the depth and the height. Now, wait, the breadth, what is breadth? Mass for? Is it here to here or here to here? Great. So breath is from here to here. Now we have it in our cardinal point as east to west, right? So that you will be able to comprehend with all believers. Comprehend with all believers. Look at the prayer the apostle is praying, that all believers will comprehend. The word comprehend means understand. It has a deeper word that means to intimately be acquainted with, to intimately know something that nobody can take it away from you. With all saints, what's the breadth and the length? And our length is, and also, what do you see? So that you will be able to comprehend the length and the breadth. What is this? And so that will immediately begin to tell you that the love of God can only be understood through the mouth. Come on now. And that is why when I lead people in worship, I said, let us try. We thank God for rain. When I look at the mountains, I look at the valleys, as David said, and I look at the sea. Mr. David is here today. Oh, my Lord, you are God. When I look at the mountains, and I look at the valley, and I look at the sea, oh, my Lord, you are God. But there's a place that as your knowledge of the gospel grows, you no longer see God in the mountains and the valleys. Or you're seeing God in the mountains and the valleys is not your last point. You graduate to now seeing God in the cross. Kalavala osada madeasa. That you may be able to comprehend with all the saying the breadth, the length, and the height of God. Now, this phrase also means the totality. When I say bread, length, it means the totality. So in short, we can say that we may be able to comprehend with all saying what is the totality. Then 19 comes. And to know the love of Christ. Or which is the word here is kai, which is to know the love of Christ. Which is to know the love of Christ. So let me finish my exegesis. Which passeth knowledge. Let's do it together. Which passeth knowledge, or which passes knowledge. And a lot of times, what I realize is we used to think that the love of God passes knowledge. It means that you cannot know. Edna, you can't. Oh. Hey, Baba Oluwase. We can't. Who am I? That Father, you love me like that. I don't know why Jesus loved me. I don't know why he cared. I don't know why he sacrificed his love. Oh, but I'm so glad he did. But then we realize through the gospel that the love of God is knowable. Come on now. It's not a matter of I don't know again. We know. The apostle in several places writes it, and we know. I'm taking you somewhere. So to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. So there is, I wish that, can this TV cast my phone? Does this TV has cast feature? Or you are not sure? I wish I could cast the original Greek here for you from my phone. And then you see that what the original actually says is, to know the love of Christ, to know the surpassing knowledge of the love of Christ. It is not to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, because that would mean that the love of Christ is beyond our knowledge. And if Christianity is a function of knowledge, we cannot now say, I don't know the love of God, or I cannot know the love of God. If the love cannot be known, if God's love cannot be known, it cannot be experienced. And since Christianity is a function of knowledge, the revelation of the love of God is knowable. So the original text, actually, I'll try to show that to you next week, is to know the surpassing knowledge. That the word surpassing in the Hebrew, in the Greek, is hupabalu. The word hupabalu means over and beyond every other thing. For example, in this place, our hupabalu here will it be the fan or the light? Look at this part of the fan, okay? This hanging. Will it be the fan or the light? I said hupabalu means the one that is highest above every other one. So our hupabalu in this room, will it be the fan or the light? Or will it be the puppet? Let me use a clear one. Will it be the puppet or the light? The light. Because the light is far above the puppet. So Paul says that the believers will know the surpassing knowledge of the love of Christ. That is to say, that in all the knowledge that they will know, that which must surpass it is the revelation of the love of Christ. It must be the ceiling, the roof of every other knowledge. It says earlier a word called epignosis. Can you say that? Epignosis, to know accurately. To know something accurately. For example, if I call a computer scientist here and I ask him a question, he will be able to explain to me precisely what I want to know. But if somebody's not a computer scientist and I ask the same question, but the person knows computer, the person knows mouse, the person knows keyboard, right? But when you now tell the person, what is it? It is a keyboard. Okay, now what is the shortcut to be able to open a DOS program? Huh? He knows that this is a keyboard, but he doesn't know what it entails. No, this is God. Oh, this is God. Oh, God, I love you. God, you love me. But doesn't know what it entails. So, God loves me. God loves me. Nyame domi. But if God loves me, what does it entail? And the Bible said that should be the surpassing knowledge above every other knowledge. Is it not sad that today a lot of Christians know, as I said earlier, demons more than the love of Christ? Can I help you further? Because I'll be closing soon. Can I be further? That popular prayer we pray home in school, when we are closing school, we call it sharing grace. Sometimes we do it in church. What do we say? And then we say surely, right? And then at another place, you say, three things remain. They are faith, hope, and love. And I'll say, and the greatest is love. Which love is he talking about? What depth of height? Ta-da, ta-da. I like that song, but I always never get the words. Ta-da-da-da. When striving seems my comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. So, if all I'm saying has been messed up to you, I've just said two things so far with many words. One, so that you can write. One is this: the knowledge of Christ's, or the knowledge of the gospel, is the indwelling of Christ. That's the first point I made with many words. And then the second thing I've said so far through this reading is that the knowledge of the love of Christ is the hupabalu. hyperbalu, the surpassing knowledge of every other knowledge a believer must have. It must be the roof. And that is why words are not missed. Surpassing. To know the surpassing knowledge of the love of God. I don't know what the HSCB or HCSB says. Maybe to use the word surpass. Great. To know the Messiah's love that surpasses knowledge. And the correct thing is what? To know the surpassing knowledge of the Messiah's love. It means it is the knowledge that passes us. So three things remain: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest is. And what love is that? The love of Christ. Why does he say the love of Christ and not the love of God? The love of God. Because God is in Christ. Come on. Because God is in Christ. Because when you see God, when you see Christ, you've seen God. Because God is the exact representation. Christ is the exact representation of God. Because it is in Christ that we see God. It is in Christ that the love of God is experienced. Do you get this? All right. So, now that these things are established, the understanding of the surpassing knowledge of the love of Christ does three things. And this is the foundation. Number one, it brings rest. To know the surpassing knowledge of the love of God. To know the surpassing knowledge of the love of God brings rest. Matthew 11, 28. Matthew 11, 28. Church is the foundation, he said. Tina is the foundation, he said. So when I ask you a question, now you can answer, right? All right. So I'll ask you one. What must be the surpassing knowledge of the believer's knowledge? What must be the surpassing knowledge of the believer?
Love of Christ.
I like to when you have a small chair, that's the benefit you have. You can worry everybody. So be the next, I'll come to worry. This will be imagination. Alright. So what's the first? The understanding the love of God now. What will it do to you? It will give you rest. And Jesus said, come to me, all of you who are weary and are burdened, and I'll give you rest. When Jesus said this, he was not talking about if your job is not going well. You know, yesterday I was using your road. Na me kope rem ato. And Mitikadimana, the Spirit of God just whispered to me. He said, run away from Christianity that presents God as a materialistic God. Or run away from a materialistic Christianity. That's a wrong evangelical message. Come to me, all you that labor, and I'll give you rest. And they never bothered to find out why he said that. He said, come. Is your marriage falling? Come. Do you want a job? Come. If you come, just will do well. Now, the person who can realize that still their marriage is in the problem. There are problems in the marriage. Maybe then their marriage is in the problem. That's a good oxymoron, right? Still, there are problems in the marriage. Still, there are. How many of you here don't have any problem? Raise up your hand, let's clap for you. We save you as our Lord. Sister, see the wine fame. Sure, I won't need help here. Maybe I have a camera. Who here doesn't need money? If I give you money, you don't like. Mr. Dave, money. Money is like that. The more you get, the more you want. If you used to eat Indomie raw, when you start getting money, you want to add egg. If the money increases, you want to add sardine. If it increases, you want to add coke. So money is like that. You must know this about money. The more you get it, the more. That's why God teaches us how to master ourselves over money. Else it will lead you by heart. But think of it. Everybody has a problem. Some way, somehow. Things are funny somehow. So come on to me. And then the person comes to church. If I go to church, all my problems will be solved. It is a lie. If that's why you are in church, stop. Stop and go and sleep. Because all your problems will not be solved. Nobody's, even Jesus' problems were not solved. And now, when Jesus died, Pastor Benson, when Jesus died, sweetheart, Father, see for Sanko Bob, I say, Mummy and Quachin let and San Fanco is will be no be uncle to a mununo. I say, yes, Yanni Free will form with him here, you know. Almost a Mummy and Cansan Crofano no Monco Casse, Nesia for Nabede, Abbeyan, no cranny problems when Yano did Jaokoi. Any problems? Some of there are problems everywhere, and that is why my teaching on life happens Friday night retreat. If you have get that message, it will help you, so that you leave the delusion of as if I'm a Christian, so nothing should happen to me. Why am I a child of God and I'm feeling this? Why am I a child of God? Only me. Why? Who else should face it? Are you there? You know, if you face it, it's not good, but somebody else. God, why me? Who else? Lena, God, why me? So you there? Okay, so come to Pastor Ray. Pastor Ray is the one that can bet. You know, those kind of ideas, we get them from the wrong place. Come to church and your problems will be solved. Come to church and God will give you money. If everything you want. And people come to church and they don't see all of those things. They see that as one problem is answered, another problem comes, because that is how life is. You want money, when you get money, you need security. You want children, when you get children, you have to pray for school fees. You want a car, you get a car, you have to pray for fuel and maintenance. Every blessing is a problem in disguise. So, nothing really is anything until it is viewed through the lens of Christ. Nothing really is anything until it is viewed through the lens of Christ. They'll come to me, and I'll give you rest. No, don't go and preach this message to anybody. No. Paul said in the book of Corinthians, he said that we will not have you to be ignorant of the things we faced when we were in Asia. How that we were buffeted, we struggled, even to the point that we almost wanted to die. We gave up on life. Apostle Paul, or see, we despaired of life. How many of you have been through something that you have despaired of life with all the Holy Ghost on the inside of you? That is it for you. That is why I wonder what people who do not know Jesus, how they go through life. Because there's no revelation of Jesus Christ. What sustains us is the revelation of Christ. Above the way. So come to me, all you that are weary and burdened, I'll give you rest. And when Jesus was saying this, he was actually talking to the people. The Pharisees were standing here. And the Pharisees were great evangelists. They will evangelize people to obey the law unto righteousness. You have not heard this before, right? The Pharisees. They gave the people the laws of Moses. Thou shalt not do this. If you don't do this, then God will do this. Thou shalt not do this. Thou shalt not do this. If you want God to bless you, if you want God to love you, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, shalt thou not. Every time. And the people were burdened with that. Because you realize that the more you try to please God with your works, the more you fail. The more you try to impress God with your libi libi labalaba things, the more you fail. And so the Pharisees were there preaching the law. And Jesus came to stand beside them. I like that man, Jesus. He stood beside them. Because the reason why I can tell this is because when you read the pattern, you see the conversation. They were there, he was there. And whilst they were preaching, they were teaching, he now shouted, come to me. These people are preaching the law. These people belong to Moses. They are calling you to works, but come to me. What they offer you is death. What they offer you is a load. It's a load that makes your neck weary. Come to me. When you come to me, I'll give you rest. What rest will I give you? I'll give you rest from the law. I'll give you rest from self-righteousness. I'll give you rest from trying to impress God. Because I become the standard of impressing God, not you. I impress God for you. Jesus impresses God for you. How can you impress God? With praise and worship. Do you know the kind of music they play in heaven? No. That one is for us. Praise and worship is for us. With what? Offering. Right. Show shit. Show shit. Show shit. Not sure I worship. Impress God with a seed. No, it's giving good. Giving is good. We give as believers. But we can't impress God with these things. Only one thing impresses God. Christ Jesus. And if you are in Christ, you impress God now. Are you getting what I'm saying? As a team number, they buy. No team number, no. No TIN number, no loan. No TIN number, no bank account. The moment you have your TIN number, you are qualified. Now you can have your bank account. You can get your loan. You can do every transaction. Jesus is like the TIN number. When you have him, you cannot access anything. He impresses God for us. So he said, come to me from all these Pharisaic things and all this, and I'll give you rest. Then he says that my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Hallelujah. Understanding the love of God. I've not even touched on what the love of God is, so we'll do that next week. Understanding the love of God gives you rest. It causes us to stop from trying to please God into resting in the fact that we are pleasing to him. The second thing it does, you understand this, right? Great. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Say, the understanding the love of God gives me rest. When does a person rest? When does a person rest? Great. But in our physical lives, in physical life, when somebody is resting, what does it mean? It means the person was engaged in something and the person has ceased from that action and is reclining, doing nothing. Because some of you might do so. Nipa na diyo yed wae de. We jai. And or reclining. What do you mean to say? Onyeshi. Do you know that in our relationship with God, that is what it's supposed to be? We recline. We do nothing. Now, this do nothing doesn't mean we don't do anything in life. I beg. This do nothing means we stop doing things to impress God. We call it religion. It's a busybody. And so many believers are occupied. Self-occupation. Busybody. Busybody. Try, and their motive is to try to get God to like them. To try to get God to be happy about them. But Jesus says that when you come to me, I give you rest. I cause you to stop doing everything you were doing to impress God. And you recline. And so Christianity begins from sitting, then standing, then walking. Like the book Watchman wrote, sit, stand, walk. Christianity begins first from sitting. That's what the Bible said. We are seated in heavenly places in Christ. Until you rest, cannot work. A tired person, when he gets on the job, makes a lot of mistakes and fumbles. But a well-rested person is refreshed. Christians who can do so much in the body of Christ are people who are well-rested in Christ. Because all the time, when I used to be, when I didn't know the gospel, I used to be very religious and I was very self-occupied. Most of you, to you, bear witness to me, say, "Ubo se mpem bibre no." You were always, before you knew the gospel, you were always caught up with what next to do to make God happy. You were either caught up in what to do to make God happy, or what have I done wrong this time? Oh, what have I done wrong this time? What can I do? What have I done wrong? What can I do? What have I done wrong? That's what you're occupied with. And so you realize that your prayers were mostly filled with sorrow. God is me again. It's 2 o'clock in the night. God is me again. Father is me. I know I'm not worthy. But Father, I know you are tired of me. You can get tired, and then if you are very spiritual in religion, you now play a song. Maybe by Tasha Cobbs. That song. Feel me. Favor in your sight. And I'm to fill me up till I overflow. I wanna run over. I wanna run over. God, I know you are tired. When you fill me, I get empty. You have filled me, sir. You cry you are tired, but please fill me up. That was the Christianity most of us had. I told you, my favorite scripture was Psalm 51 or 55. Cleanse me with hyssop and I shall be clean. with hyssop and I shall be clean. There's something called hyssop. It's a herb. Like, cleanse me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be washed, oh my Lord. That was my prayer. You know, because that is what self-occupation to impress God does to you. It makes you live in an endless cycle and you never feel enough before God. You never feel enough. And that is where when the false pastors get you. One who been choir and one edaso. One said the kwabra need to meet sia na suntem ehwen kwai. When a false prophet get you, or show sa ben kwai. Because when him say, "Unam hono, umu hasa sawa." Unni nyame asem bia wo. Oka kwen no aye twen. Oka to no aye moen. Manipulate. That's where manipulation begins. It all begins, what do people want? Listen to me. What do people want? What does every God-fearing person want? To be happy with God. For God to say, I love you. You have done well. Every human being who pursues a walk with God is looking for acceptance and approval from God. That God will say, Mo akwapano kwafu. I accept you. Is that not what they want? And how is it that Jesus Christ offers this to people and they still reject it? Jesus says rest. They say no, we want to work. I know folks who have woke up and who have woken up and prayed at midnight every day that their eyes have become red like red wine. And they are bereft of sleep. And the reason why they are praying, again, that same process leads people to now begin to engage in an illusional warfare with Satan. You can say illusional. As yet, I say, Adia in Honans, who say, so what to quack on Coco, Kumasi, Quansoda, who wants a carny fru, a sunny Anna Sequa, who want to be a quansi in you? A weird boy. I say, you see, a quansoa, Fubedu and I as a sipity, brought for me a friend in Mirage, a Viana Ebon, and I'm a for my day. I say, a form Niacin, and who heats, and they show sight. And you say, you see, no Babidu. Sasson, I'm socko pot, and I say, Dua. People now begin to engage in miragic warfare. Who you see, you were telling, she was telling me about experience in the University of Ghana, right? You see, they call them what, Gadites. You see young men and young women, instead of expending their energy to draw people to the love of Christ, they are now using that time to engage in spiritual warfare. My father, my father. My God, every divine, every spiritual orchestration, die, 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 die. And the time you were doing that, die, 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 die. Quick, I said, for the time a person was doing all of that, a person could have been meditating on. How sweet the name of Jesus Christ in the believer's ear. It soothes his soul and calms his nerves and takes his fears away. This is my version of it. So you see what it does. And a lot of it, so if you're here, you're listening to me, and that is your Christianity, number one, acknowledge that you have a problem. And number two, begin to embark on a solution. The solution is the word of God, the gospel. If that is the kind of Christianity you have had, you are never arrested. You know, it brings you down. Demons, every day, demons. I told you that, and I always make a joke of it. Even when a cockroach flies in your house, a demon is coming. Well, here, but and a hungry bird that is going to feed his children is now your Satan. And an innocent spider that was just trying to jump from his own Kumasi to Accra to go and visit the family. And the web crosses it. Demonic web. I was walking and webs came to. They don't know. They don't know who they are. I serve a living God, though. I serve a living God. They don't know who they are coming to. They have been tempting me. They have been doing it. Last time I was at Kanishi. Kanishi. People were there. People, but only me when I passed a web. I said they have started again. But I serve a living God. That is somebody's Christianity. I'm telling you, that is somebody's Christianity. You know, somebody was sharing some stories to me. I was like, Pastor. Yes. What's happening? I was walking and spider webs crossed me. Hey! Baby, I'll be in show, Ben Wafa. I read him the piano shot to me. I pay if you feel, mommy, feel. What is that? I'm pie bunny in him, bo, sister. I pay it on the cabbage. Chill if you, mommy, feel, baby, feel. Me, Gina, me, Danny, she don't go on anymore than the sham. I feel numb half. Num. What do you mean? Num half. Half no. For you have cocoon shum naturally. Now if you have number or communion wine ho. Sorry, my moon, you're serious. Oh, you can't even be saying I'm with you, dear bro. Communion wine. Someday want to talk communion wine. What won't send your mind attack you? Would you work as I'm saying you remember sorry? Ah, a bew ho. But an enemy found more 15 be 100. I saw a thing. I would be some equia so will be your one. Never got craft frat. But I told on the other baby. Aha. My son would think. For good, you mean I'm at him. For France, you can't know. Radin count. Chances. And that's Christianity for a lot of people. Are they resting? They are not resting. I told you last time, and I'm going to tell you again because I'm your pastor and I'm going to be pastoring for. And if you love me to be your pastor, I'm going to pastor you for a long time. When I knew the gospel, I stopped fasting. Because I realized it was non-fa. Like a waste. Oh. Meanwhile, I used to fast. Once you start here, I'm for you were 40 days be. And not 2 weeks be. Not 7 days be. So want to mean 40 days, I'll call. 2 weeks. Want to mean 2 weeks, you can't there. I need how much you can 3 days there. And 7 days, I'll call. But when I discovered the love of Christ, I stopped that and I rested. Because I discovered that everything that I was trying to get through fasting, Jesus has given it to me. The problem is that we are trying to work for what Jesus has given to us. I like the fact that I've dwelt here for a long time. I like it. Rest. What did Jesus say at the cross? It is finished. And many Christians are resting. I pray that more rest will come to more people through the gospel. Most of you have friends like that, don't you? And sometimes you say everything to them. And the funny thing is that when somebody's in the wrong, they think they are right. And no matter what you say to them, when they see you resting, they say, "Oh dear, when you pray, and nemon samfua solia, abedomni ademoni." She's coming to obey domni a demon a solid. So I was grace, Jesus. And I've seen an archbishop, a very great man of God in the world here, who has said that most of you think that you are Christians and so you must not engage in spiritual warfare. But I'm telling you, until you engage in spiritual warfare, you will not see breakthrough. We have fought battles and we are here because of the battles we have fought. If you neglect spiritual engagement, you will always be sabotaged. There are dimensional prayers you have to lift up for heaven to respond. Dimensional prayer. And there's manipulation like that. That is why somebody in that same illusion and delusion can stand in before a policeman. Daddy! All right, yes, sir. A lot of delusions. But thank God for rest. I said, thank God for rest. And where does the rest come from? Christ. And where is Christ? In the gospel. In the knowledge of the gospel. Don't forget, that's why I started by telling you that the knowledge of the gospel is Christ in you. Alright? So you rest. If you're here and you've been struggling like that, please stop it. Begin to rest. Have I made sense to you? Begin to rest. You know, you don't have to even clap. You know, people think that when you clap your hands, then Satan will die. If Satan would have died, people have prayed more than you. All of those things, they lead you into those cycle of restlessness. And another restlessness is sin consciousness. That's another reason. I was talking about demonic things and all that. Religion. Another one is sin consciousness. Sin. Father, I've sinned. And a lot of people are living in guilt and all of these things. And as long as we keep feeling that we are sinners, it means we have not believed the gospel. Can I say that again? As long as if you are here and you keep feeling that I'm a sinner, if you keep feeling that thing, it means you have not believed the gospel. It means you need to now pay attention to the gospel again. If you've believed anything and you called it the gospel, it means that was not the gospel in the first place. Because when you believe the gospel, it takes you away from that sin consciousness. And that's another restlessness. When I was attending my first Bible school, sorry to say this, but I have to say it. When I was attending my first Bible school, the man of God that was the host for the Bible school asked one lady to bring communion wine and 50 Ghana cedis, which was those days 500,000. Those days 500,000 was big money. Or sister, na boy, your mind. To communion wine and the 500,000, they bet 10. Yeah. And when you've not heard, you think it's a joke, but it's happening. And the restlessness. But Jesus says. And so, when you are now with Jesus and you are still doing those things, what is wrong with you? Because the very idea was that he called you out of those things to come and rest. You are now with Jesus, you are on 40 days fasting. You are now with Jesus every day. Father, forgive me, cleanse me, cleanse me, cleanse me. I've sinned. You are now with Jesus, breaking loose, clapping, shouting, jumping. You are now with Jesus. So, it's delusion. Do you get me? Because Jesus calls you to come away from those things, and now you claim to be with him and you are still in those things, and hence through knowledge you practically let go. Last week we got to say, you can't appreciate something wrong and be finding what could be right about the wrong thing. Do you understand? Like, the thing is wrong, and I'll say, then what is wrong with this? Yet you hold it. You make a bold decision to what? Let go. It is only when you let go of that which you know is wrong, then you can experience whole new life. Christianity is not supposed to be nyama 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 nyama. It's not supposed to be jimmy 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 jimmy. It's not supposed to be hypnosis. It's like you don't know what is happening. No, you are falling down. You know what's happening? That is not the power of God. And when we continue the series, I'll show you that the power of God is the love of God in Christ. When a barrel is filled with water and one is empty, when you kick the one that is filled, it doesn't fall. When you are filled with the word, you won't be falling down, church. You won't be falling down, church, because you know you're left. It's only people that are empty that have been falling. Every service they fall. They are falling. But when you are full of the word, why is the pastor that is praying for you, why doesn't he fall? Have you ever thought of it? Don't let anybody take you for a donkey's ride. Be strong in the Lord and remain in his rest. I think I had 4 points, but this woman I've exhausted it, so I like it like that. The rest I'll just go over it for you and then we can get out of here. The next one is that it brings confidence. It brings confidence. The love of God brings confidence. The first one is that it brings rest. The next one is that understanding the love of God gives you confidence. Romans chapter 8 verse 38. Romans chapter 8 verse 38. The love of God, understanding the love of God gives you confidence. A lot of people cannot approach God because they lack that confidence. A lot of people can't even call God daddy. Hey, Jehovah Rapha, Nisi, Adonai, Makadosh. You know, but when Jesus came, he said Abba. And do you know what Abba means in the Hebrew? It means daddy. Now, Abba is not pater. There are two words for father. One is affectionate. The affectionate one is Abba. It's like dad. And then what we say father is like pater, like father. Okay. But affectionate one is what? Abba. When you see Abba in your Bible, it's like dad. And so more recent translations of the Bible, no share, no Romans or no matter, God has not given us the spirit of fear. Has not given us the spirit of bondage to fear again. But to call God dad. More recent translation said to call God dad or daddy. Because that's the meaning of Abba, Daddy. A lot of people cannot even call God Daddy. You know, sometimes when I pray, you know, when I pray, it baffles people. Sometimes we'll be in a serious meeting, pastor's conference, big, people are flowing jargons. Can you flow jargons? Alandu. Ah, my father. People are flowing jargons. Let's have Apostle Ray pray for us. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you. We love you so much. We are grateful for everything. You are with us, and we appreciate it. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Father. And you know, that is how we even see powerful prayer. Our powerful prayers are the prayers like that. Father. Father. Abba, Father. Oh, come on. Jilava Jose de Mandele, baby. By the time we finish this series, it's my prayer for you that you'll be drowned in the revelation of God's love. Father. All of those things. That same Makadosh, whatever. He says he's your daddy. He loves you. He loves you. He's your daddy. And that's the confidence that we have. If I'm persuaded that not neither death nor life, or angels or rulers, or things present, or things to come, nor powers, nor 39, nor heights, nor death, nor any other created thing will have power to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Nothing. Now, no, nothing separating you. Nothing separating him. Do you understand that? So, confidence. It gives us confidence. When we understand love good, it gives us confidence. Then you know that you can even sit on your bed and pray. You know, you can be dozing and pray. You know, sometimes I like to study late in the night. And when I'm there, you know, I feel very sleepy. So, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. And sometimes I can literally feel God saying, sleep. You are asleep. Sometimes we don't owe God, okay? We don't owe him. Some people take God too serious above how he wants to be taken serious. And the things God wants to be taken serious with, you know, they don't take that one serious. The non-fat things, the way they take it serious, God says rest. And that's why you begin to now even understand better the promptings of the Holy Spirit. As he tells you simple things. And you see that your life is rested and beautiful. One pastor told me when I was in my teens, he said, "Koi ma." Yes, da. He said, "Dimpaye." He said, "Dimpaye." He said, "Nomompaye." He said, "Nomompaye." He said, "Slampaye." Slampaye. Frampaye. He said, "Frampaye." And you know the prayer, the normal one. That's the normal time. And I discovered the gospel from one pastor. He evangelized me at my workplace at McCarthy. And he shared with me the gospel. I was so blown. I said, "Where have I been reading from my Bible?" And so when I went to church, church wasn't making sense to me anymore. Who is my witness here? Do I have a witness here? Church didn't make sense anymore. Then when they are doing all of those things, I see like I'm in a strange place. Because light has come to me. I didn't feel comfortable again. The pastor now passed my back and went to Thomas and said, "Pastor." And my pastor said, "Kuima, Oba." Kuima, Oba. Because I joined prayer tower in class 3. I won top prayer tower for 3 years consistently. Class 3. You can't pray more than. Pray. You can't pray more than. Class 3. I won prayer. They used to give award for prayer work. I won 3 times consecutively. Class 3. And there were doctors, elders around me. Because when I you will run away. My clapping alone, it can remove the demon. But when I understood the gospel, I developed a Christocentric prayer life, and it's full of rest. I'm not fighting with Satan. I'm not fighting with Satan. It's not in my business. I tell people, "Uko confusion so oni Jesus." It's like you say, we see that God is some weak person with that. Anything can just happen to us at any time. Confidence. Say, "I have confidence. I have confidence." You have confidence. You don't fear witches. You don't fear wizards. You don't fear all of those things because you understand. Eradijina mechi seldom berima nani humu okumami yehinti. Say Matamfunina because that's another delusion. It's like Matamfun of Abia, but no. Or Tamfun of the enemy himself. So it gives you confidence. Neither height nor death, nothing can separate us from the love of the Father. And that understanding the love of God gives us confidence to approach God, to live a life of confidence. Most people feel they are not beautiful, they are not nice. They are being shy to go before people. They have that self-inferiority stuff because they've not caught the love of God. When you see that God, when you come to catch how God loves you in Christ Jesus, it makes you confident. You step out. A friend of mine saw me and said, Ima, you were not like this. Something has changed. I remember when I was a kid, even to tell the mate, say, mate, me see you, I couldn't. I don't know if you are like that. If anybody's like, you just want me. I was so quiet that even quiet was annoying of me. Now me, DM, DM, who be an animal. I was like, I was so quiet. I was so fearful. I was so shy. That even to tell a mate, I'm shy that everybody in the car will hear my voice that, you see me, see you. And sometimes I have to wait for somebody to alight there before I alight. And if nobody alights there, then I'll wait for the next bus stop where somebody will alight. And alight and come back. That's how horrible it was. And if God is using me today to bless people, doesn't it give you something that God takes things that are nothing and uses them to shame the wise? So you don't feel about yourself. You think you're a nobody. Most of you made yourself by your background, mother, Jana, mother, my father. You have a heavenly father. Praise the Lord. And it gives you that confidence. And the next one is that it gives you, it inspires love. 1 John 4:9. Understanding the love of God inspires love. The Bible says that we love because He first loved us. 1 John 4:19. 1 John 4:19. 1 John 4:19. Praise the Lord. Have you enjoyed yourself? As we are bringing the service to a close, say a good pastor must close 6 times. A good pastor must close 6 times. You must see him say, we are closing now, then sometimes. We are closing and then sometimes. 6 times, then. That's a good pastor. A good pastor always closes how many times? 6 times. So as we bring the service to close, this should be my 2nd time or 3rd time. So 3 more to close. You know, confidence. Hey, nyami fie, mi sampo, nyami fie oba, enima mi emu. Either saw the nomine beko. I don't say beko. Say ye! And you for a maba mumuade. And if you're not motu at a premudiagro. Ubera, if you had the name of me, you need echo. Either saw the nomine beko anansira. What the Bible says, 2 kinds of rivers cannot flow from the same source. Or say, bitter water and sweet water cannot flow from the same fountain. How can a good God not give curses? Another problem in the body of how can a God who blesses curses? So, for most people, God is the blue man and He's there. On one way, blue man, on one way, killer, what done and Maku Kuniko, or quite if you go home, you know, a ban of our baby, sir. On one boat, do you know, I got a video bomb, and I mean, you are born in fuse. Is that not what we think? When all the problems come, you have disobeyed God, God is angry at you. What is the answer they give? Pray to God. Confidence. Dance, celebrate yourself without fear. Inspire love. We love because. So, what inspires love? And I tell young people who are here to marry, don't marry a man or a woman who doesn't understand the love of God. He can't love you properly. Because filial love dies. Filial love dies. Erotic love, it dies. It's highly based on physical things. Maybe I like your shape, maybe you like my chest. Maybe I like the way your eyes are. Maybe you like the way, you know, you like my dark skin. If any of those things change, it will affect. Do you understand? It will affect the filial love. But one thing that doesn't change is the love of God. Hence, when a person is established in the love of God, when filial love is finished, he now writes on the love of God. So yesterday, I answered a question on the page. Somebody said, blah, blah, blah. And I said, build the marriage or the relationship on the love of God. Do you understand that? We love because He first loves us. The way we can love other people. Old Testament, love your neighbor. Old Testament, love your neighbor. New Testament, love your neighbor. So the Old Testament says, love your neighbor as yourself. It means to the extent to which you love yourself is how you love. That's limited. But Jesus comes in now, he changes that. He said, love one another just as I have loved you. You see, there's a difference between the old and the new. Love one another just as I've loved you. So the love of God, when we understand it, it now inspires us to. The lot of things I can be a personal testimony to. First, when you take something of mine, don't tell me I get very angry. I don't like it. I always want you to tell me. Even if you are dining, I have one sachet of water. Don't take it. See me first. I was so protective of my things. That's how human beings were. Come on. I was so protective of my things. And when I encountered the gospel, I realized nothing has changed. Rah! I love to give. Do you know how much of mommy calls me? Should I tell you? Father Christmas. She calls me Father Christmas. I like to give. And I don't bother when people take my things. And I know that most of you have beautiful testimonies of how the gospel has, you know, transformed you in little ways. Praise the Lord. We love because he first loved us. And then the last thing it does for you is that it removes fear. When you understand the love of God, it removes fear. When you understand the love of God, it removes fear. Verse 18. Just the same place, but verse 18. Let's read it loud and clear. This is our last text. One, two, go. There is no fear in love. Now, what love is he talking about? Because when you know that human love, there's fear inside. When your girlfriend receives a call, there's fear there. There's insecurity there. But in the love of Christ, when it is well understood, there's no insecurity, there's no fear there. Now, one of the things I think I learned that from my wife is that she said, let God be God, let man be man. It is only when God is God and man is man that man can appreciate God. My preacher woman. Sometimes when we try to bring men to the level of God or bring God to the level of man, we miss. Human love, next week I'm going to explain that to you. Human love is nowhere compared to the love of God. And next week I'm going to demystify that to the minutest degree from the scripture for you to see. Human love is nowhere near the love of God. There is no fear in love. Instead, perfect love drives out fear. Now, what is the perfect love he's talking about here? The love of God. So you don't go and quote this scripture to your girlfriend. There's no fear in love. Why am I still afraid? I'm loving you. I'm loving you, but I'm still afraid. I don't feel it inside of me. Between two. No. You're between two. The love he's talking about here is the love of God. So let's add of God into it. There is no fear in... Come on, say it. Well, there is no fear. Instead, perfect love, which is the love of God, drives out fear. Because fear involves punishment. I'm going to hell. Most people think they are going to hell. Most Christians think they are going to hell. There's that fear of punishment. Most Christians think that God is punishing them because of something they did. That is a sign that the perfect love has not yet come. The revelation has not yet come. Consistently, people also feel that on the last day, where do I stand? Are the true believers? The true believers are those who consecrate themselves. They live a life of holiness. They don't go to the left, they don't go to the right. When they see sin, they say, they turn their eyes. They are the true believers. When the trumpet sounds, bah, 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 they are those that will be raptured. Are you a true believer? Now, so if you don't have a pignosis, the knowledge of the love of Christ is true, will I make it? And that's why you see a pastor who boldly says, heaven. You hear things like that. You know, those people do not have the knowledge of love. Now somebody say, hey, pastor, but how? Why? He's a pastor. Did you remember what I told you about Apollos last time? Last Sunday. Mighty in scriptures, eloquent, zealous, teaching people, preaching to people, yet he didn't know Jesus until he met Priscilla and Aquila. So can it be possible that somebody can have a church and not know Jesus? Can it be possible that someone have a big church preaching powerfully, miracles happening, he doesn't know Jesus? How will you know the person knows Jesus? Is the message he preaches. From the message you can see this person is Christocentric. Hallelujah. And so perfect love drives away fear. What fear is he talking about? Fear of punishment, fear of torment. Fear. What punishment? Fear from God. Fear of God. Unhealthy fear of God. When fear of God looks like a ravaging lion coming to eat you, he said, the love of God, understand it, drives away that fear. God is angry. God is angry. God is angry. It is a signal of the ignorance of the love of God. God has no anger. What did I say? God has no anger. God doesn't get angry. In fact, he hasn't gotten angry before. It is impossible for him to be angry. As we know anger, it is impossible. And it is in the knowledge of anger that we feel that if God is angry, then what is next? When we're angry, what do we do next? When we're angry, what do we do next? We strike. So when you now think God is angry, then what's your next expectation? He's striking you. And says, it is only in the knowledge of the love of God that this must be solved. But until the knowledge comes, a person will still be wallowing in the fear. Fear. Fear of Satan. But let me know if you know, the fear of God is there. It's more, people fear God negatively more than they fear Satan. They think Satan is very powerful, but they don't really fear him. But they fear God and they think he's not really powerful. Fear. Maybe you feel like, oh, God is coming at me. It's a lie. He has not come. God's last bullet, if he had any, was shot into Christ on the cross. Reserve bullet for you. There is no judgment day where you are going to stand in the line and all your sins will be shown on the screen. Jones, yes, me red. 24th March. Now, what? Me red. I'm sorry, bump by. Oh, yeah, sure. Gina Hall. Gabriel.
Yes, daddy.
Play. That picture of judgment. But when you understand the love of God, you realize that judgment ended on the cross. Come on now, this is something to shout amen to. Judgment ended on the cross. That is why Jesus was made a big wide screen on the cross of Calvary for everybody to see. That's the grandest movie of God's judgment right there. No judgment waiting for you, because it says that. So one who fears has not reached perfection in love. And again, it's not your love, but again, has not reached the knowledge of the love of God. So if there's that fear in you, then it means the knowledge of the love of God needs to be fixed. And that's what we are going to be doing for the next weeks. The next weeks that follow, the following weeks that are coming, we're going to be discovering the love of God. So next week, I'm going to show you now, what is the love of God? Today, we've done the opening scripture. I've also explained to you the benefits of understanding the love of God. So next week, I'm now going to help you understand what is the love of God. When we say God loves you, what is it? It is serious. When we say God loves you, what does it mean? And we're going to look at the character of God's love. And then we'll also proceed to follow me to go and look at how the love of God was understood in the Old Testament and how it has been revealed in the New Testament. And then we'll progress and progress and progress. So there's stuff to learn, right? But are you blessed today? Have you learned something right now? Say the Father loves me. Then put your right hand on your chest. Say, Father, you can be upstanding on your feet. Say, the Father loves me. He loves me so much.